Welcome to Mindset 52 Podcast, your source for powerful strategies and uplifting stories from top-tier achievers, athletes, entrepreneurs, and industry visionaries. Discover how they thrive in their fields while staying true to what really matters, personal well-being and family. Immerse yourself in their transformative insights and step closer to your highest potential. This is Mindset 52. Here we go.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Kano Complete Cleaning. Kano Complete Cleaning sets the standard for going above and beyond in residential cleaning, commercial cleaning, and floor maintenance, from spotless windows to immaculate floors. They tackle every detail with innovative techniques and unmatched dedication. Whether it's a home, office, or industrial facility, Kano Complete Cleaning transforms spaces into something truly extraordinary, always exceeding expectations. Welcome to Mindset 52 with JR Rivera. Today I have my good friend, Doug Soka, financial advisor here in Omaha, Nebraska. Doug, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Dude, it's been a long time coming. We've known each other for a long time, and I've been waiting to have this conversation with you for a while. You've been in the financial sector for a while now, doing financial advising and doing your thing. Tell me a little bit about the financial advising industry. You've been in the industry for a while, and you've kind of grown into it, and you've done some amazing work. You work with a lot of good people.
Right.
But what have you seen over the last, 6-7 years that you've been in it?
Yeah, about 6.5 years. And I got into the industry out of college, right? Started working at a company called Pacific Life here in Omaha, Nebraska. I was selling mutual funds and annuities to financial advisors. I was a wholesaler. And ran into my mentor at the gym, Lifetime Fitness. I think that's kind of where we met as well.
Yeah. Right?
And, you know, he asked me if I ever wanted to become a financial advisor. And I kind of sat back and thought about it. And, you know, we probably met 5 or 6 times and decided to jump ship and leave the corporate world and start my own independent practice. Right. So when it comes to the financial industry, there's a lot of different avenues you can take. Right. I wanted to be more client facing. And yeah, I've been doing this for about 5 years now, and it's been a roller coaster, right? So I think my first year is when we first met, right? I think you were leaving, was it State Farm?
Yep.
So you were starting your own independent firm, and that's when we met. I think we were both trying to figure things out, right?
Yeah.
Starting our own businesses, and hey, how do we market? How do we scale this? And how do we build a sustainable business? So, you know, looking back at it, it's been 5 years, and it's been a roller coaster, but I wouldn't do it any differently.
That's phenomenal. So, not a lot of people right out of college start getting into an industry and develop themselves and, you know, find their way really, really quickly. Yeah. I feel like nowadays it's very common for people to bounce around and find themselves. Right. Was there something behind, like finances and, you know, and helping people with their, you know, find the right assets or the right plan for themselves? Like, was there something that drew you in?
Yeah. So for me, I've always wanted to own my own business. Right.
Yeah.
And I think in college as a senior, I was trying to figure out exactly how I would do that. And I thought about going to master school, getting my MBA. Right. And then I went to my favorite professor and he said, you know, go out there in the world and do something that you're passionate about. And then in 2 years time, if you want to come back and get your MBA, then go ahead and do that. Well, graduated from college, right, UNL, and started working at Pacific Life and worked there for about 1.5 years. I'm like, you know, it's time for me to jump off and kind of do something on my own. And I've always had a passion for the financial industry.
Yeah.
And so it all kind of came together when I ran into my mentor at the gym. And, you know, what he presented to me is an opportunity for me to have my own practice and help people at the same time and kind of leverage the knowledge that I've attained over, you know, my short career over at Pacific Life. So it all just kind of came together. At the perfect time. And then, you know, I think I ran into you about 5 months later. And so.
Yeah, it was pretty quickly. Yeah. We were both kind of trying to figure it out at the time.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because we were both stepping off on our own, which is very
scary.
Dude, it's there's, yeah. I was just talking about it with Manny earlier, you know, that it just seems like success, you know, doesn't really come without its scars. And
yeah.
There's so much truth to that, man. I mean, you'll see everything through being an entrepreneur and finding your own way. You got to, you know, sometimes claw and gnaw your way through it and come out on the other side.
At the beginning. Yep,
have to, yeah. Sure. And you have to have that kind of personality.
Yeah.
So talking about that, you know, tell me a little bit about your story. Where's Doug come from?
Yeah. So originally born in Zimbabwe, Harare, Zimbabwe, right? It's a small city in Zimbabwe. In South Africa. And I lived there until I was 6 years old. My mom wanted to get her MBA and her CPA. And she was about, I want to say 26 at that time, right?
Yeah.
And she couldn't do that where she was currently working at. So, you know, she's like, you know, heck with it. I'm going to move to the United States. I've got an opportunity at UNO. So she enrolled in the University of Nebraska, Omaha. And she took myself, my sister, my dad with her. Right. And so her plan was to, you know, get her MBA, graduate, get her CPA, and then move back. And, I want to say we probably, she graduated, she got her CPA and, you know, the economy back home kept getting worse. So we ended up just staying here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of a blessing in disguise. And, you know, she's got a CPA background, so she's very good at accounting and numbers and math and all of that. And I kind of feel like I picked up on a lot of that.
Yeah. Right?
So
that's what I was. So you had a little bit of that already in your DNA.
Right.
Per se.
Yeah.
Do you remember a little bit of that trek? I mean, that seems daunting, man. We came from Mexico and you guys had to go, you know, cross the ocean.
Right. It was interesting, right? I mean, I was 6 years old and there's a little that I remember about, you know, us moving. And I think at that age, I had an idea of what was going on, but, you know, just kind of looking back at it, it was just, you know, it's a lot of props to my mom, right? For, you know, being that young and deciding that, hey, you know, this isn't working out. I need to, you know, pivot and move somewhere else for me to get to where I want to get to in life, right? So really proud of her for making that decision. And I don't think at that age I would have been able to pick my family up and move to an entirely different country that I have no clue, you know, how I'd be able to survive. And it's interesting kind of looking back at it, because when we first moved here, we didn't know a whole lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Had never seen snow before.
Yeah.
And so I thought I was, you know, getting punished for something that I might have done, right? Kind of getting shipped off to Hogwarts or something like that. But, yeah, it was rough, man. The first couple years, I mean, my mom tells me stories of her living off of $20 a week, right? So think of going to the grocery store and only having $20 to spend. And we literally lived like that for probably a year and a half. I don't know how she did it, but, you know, we're able to somehow make it work. And here we are.
Dude, I don't think we acknowledge enough that, I mean, let's talk about that for a little bit, because the immigrant story, man, it's such a so damn crazy, you know, because you think you put yourself in that position now, you know.
Yeah.
Let's say you did have a family. You had a couple of kids, you know, and you were like, there's opportunity in this other country. And Zimbabwe speaks English.
Yes. So I grew up speaking in English. The secondary language is Shona.
Okay. Yep. You know, and a lot of these immigrants are coming in not knowing, definitely not knowing the completely different culture.
Yep.
No relationships a lot of times, absolutely no money.
Yeah.
Even the skill set, you know, sometimes it's lacking and you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. Completely different environment, like actually snow, you know, like completely different environment, right? Out of your element, no connections, no resources. And sometimes even the language, you know, it's not fully there. And it's, can you imagine just for an opportunity? No, you know, like, it's like, you know, so much risk, you see it and obviously some reward, but I think there's something up there, a fire that, you know, immigrants have. And that story, man, a lot of times that just, to me, it's, I see it as a responsibility on us being that next generation to keep our next generation moving just as much, you know, it's like a step in a ladder, right? And they did so much for us, the jump, you know, from being back, at least from my, you know, from my perspective, I see so many immigrants, that jump that they did is absolutely just ridiculous, man. Yeah. And it means so much for our generation. So for us, I carry it as a, dude, the responsibility that we have, right?
Right.
We need to do it now. We, it's our turn now to do something significant for our next generation.
Yeah.
And I see you, you know, with an enthusiasm in what you do and such a, you know, a passion, a fire. And I think it's a little bit of that, man. It's a little bit of that little spice, right? That little bit of that we carry with us from, I don't know. There's something about it, man. I don't know if it's in our DNA or what, but maybe intrepid, being that kind of a trailblazer.
Right.
Definitely within our you know, bloodline, I guess, or you know, our family tree. But man, it's there's so many stories in America. Obviously, it's built on immigrants, you know, and it's just a phenomenal. To hear it over and over and over again, how people are deciding to make the right decisions and get into industries that, and then being great at them.
I think it's just the excitement. We're being excited about the opportunity, right?
Right.
In other countries, I don't know what things are like in Mexico, but, you know, in Zimbabwe or even South Africa, for an example, you know, the unemployment rate is upwards of 40%. Wow. And, you know, it's difficult for one people to find a job. And if you want to build your business, you just don't have the resources, the structure, you don't have, you know, the support from the government. And it's just, it's almost impossible for you to be an entrepreneur when you're, you know, raised in that type of environment, right?
Sure.
So I think, you know, moving here to America, you just have a lot more opportunities and anybody can start their own business, right?
Okay.
You know, for some people, you might have to work for corporate America and then start your business on the side and, you know, get to a point where you can jump ship and you know, take on your business full time. So for me, it's just having the excitement of that opportunity, right? I don't see it as a burden. I see it as, hey, you know, what an opportunity I have to, you know, make an impact in people's lives and grow a business that I'm very passionate about.
That's so true, man. And I love what you said about opportunity because we're spoiled, man. Like here in America, man, we bitch and complain and, you know, and politics and, you know, this and that and whatever.
Right.
Dude, this is the greatest country on earth. The amount of opportunities that we have, it's really endless. Whatever it is that you want to do, it's out there. Go get it.
Right.
All you have to do is put some energy in it.
Yeah.
Put a little plan. Don't be hasty, you know.
Right.
And you know, be passionate about what you're doing and be intentional about what you're doing. Do a good job. Try always to do a good job. I think things will turn out no matter what you're trying to do. You can be the greatest, you know, employee to the greatest manager to whatever it is that you want to do. You're going to be a business owner. You're going to be the next Elon Musk, you know, whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's endless. America is that country. It is.
Yeah, I think you hit a spot on with being spoiled too, right? Because in other worlds, you know, across seas, there's people literally wondering how they're going to survive on a day-to-day basis, right? And for here, it's like,
are they going to get the next meal?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's, there's a crazy stat, I think, that goes along the lines of, you know, more than half the world lives on less than $2 a day.
Yep.
And just, you know, essentially take that to heart and say, wow, it's like, how much money do I spend on a daily basis? And, you know, half the world's only living on $2 a day. It's just kind of it's a crazy stat.
Crazy, 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 crazy. We're definitely spoiled.
Yeah.
With that being said, you know, you grew up here right away in Omaha? You came directly here?
So, I moved when I was 6 years old. We came straight here to Omaha, Nebraska. My mom was enrolled in the UNO. And that was in the winter of 2000. So, that was the worst winter in the recent decade. And, you know,
was it really?
Never seen snow before to, you know, I think we got here in the winter of 2000. So, it was a terrible blizzard. And so that was pretty eye-opening for us.
That was right around Christmas time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I moved here, too, from California. I actually experienced that. little kind of side story. We actually moved to a trailer, and we didn't have on Christmas Day, which is the day of the blizzard. We were in a U-Haul,
right?
And you know the U-Hauls have only like the bench seats or whatever.
Yep.
It was five of us. It was my dad, my mom, and then me and my brother, and then the baby, my little brother Diego.
Right.
We moved into this trailer. And I don't think this is my first time my dad owns, you know, a property. Yep. And I don't know how the reason why, but we didn't have power and we didn't have gas. Mm-hmm. So that was a cold day, man. We bundled up with those big Mexican blankets, the thick ones.
Especially coming from California. I mean,
we were like, what the hell? I didn't even realize that was that bad of a storm or bad of a winter. I do remember that. I definitely do remember that. So tell me a little bit about the financial industry. You know, there's so much happening right now, and I think there's so much conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez, man. Obviously, politics has a play for in sure. a lot of what's happening.
Right.
Give me a backstory. What's the rundown right now? What's happening?
Yeah, so obviously crazy times, right? I mean, terrorists are dominating the headlines, and a lot of people are freaking out, especially when it comes to investments, right? I think, you know, it's what, April 10th?
Yeah.
It's April 10th, and, you know, last Thursday and Friday, we saw, you know, the worst dips in the market since COVID 2020. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people are you know, probably freaking out right now when they turn on the TV, they're seeing tariffs, and you know how these tariffs are having a negative impact on our 401ks or IRAs or our investment accounts, right? Most of the clients that we have, we set expectations right up front and, hey, you know, we're putting together a plan here and you tell us what your goals are. And then we're going to reverse engineer a plan to help us get to our goal, right? You can't hit a target that you can't see.
Yep.
That's what I tell all my clients. And so a lot of the clients that, you know, we take on, they're understanding the fact that, hey, we're probably going to be investing in the long term. Yeah. We might make some portfolio rebalances on a quarterly basis. But I think for the most part, people that we work with are understanding the fact that we're going to see a lot of these dips and a lot of market volatility along the journey. But overall, it's time in the market and not timing the market, right? And if you're...
Because you're not day trading. It's completely
exactly, different, right? 100%, right? Yeah. I think, you know, if you're putting money away on a consistent basis, on average, since World War II, I think the market's performed just over 10%, right? So yeah. I think if you're consistent and disciplined when it comes to putting away money on a consistent basis, then, you know, over the long term, you're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw this yesterday, the market was up, but 11%, right? So,
which is like a crazy increase, right?
Right.
That doesn't happen very often.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
That's crazy. So obviously, you know, we have Trump in office, which I think that makes things much more volatile where things, you know, move up and down.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful still that, you know, things are going to definitely be continue to go up and things are going to continue to move forward. I mean, this is America. We'll always continue to grow. And like you're saying, historically, it has always. And, you know, politics aside, at the end of the day, like you're saying, it's about that long-term plan.
Yep.
Never about emotions. However, I see so many people that talk about it so much and I mean, they talk about like taking money out and moving stuff. Yeah. It just blows my mind because it makes no sense in my mind. Why would you sell when things are going down? You know, you probably want to buy it, if anything, you know,
because
you know that things are going to come back up. Do you see a lot of emotional clients or sometimes where things come up and you have to have that conversation and remind people that it is a long-term expectation?
On my end, I don't. And I tried to inform people of what's going on and what they should be doing on a weekly basis, right? Yeah. I mean, you've seen my videos and I send that out to my clients just to, you know, let them feel a little bit more at ease with what's going on in the economy and the stock market. But for us in particular, it's really our pre-retirees that we worry about a little, or not worry about, but that we're a little bit more hands-on with.
And that's because it's getting closer to when they have got it.
Exactly, okay, yeah. So your 5 years before retirement and your 5 years after retirement are the most important years of your I think, investment journey. And that's just because you don't want to be in a position where, you know, in 2008, the stock market took a dip, or, you know, when COVID happened in 2020, the stock market took a big dip, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be in a position as a pre-retiree where you're taking money out of a portfolio that's down 30%, right?
Yeah.
You're going to run out of money even quicker.
Yeah.
So lately, we've just been a little bit more hands-on with our pre-retirees, right? The people that are getting ready to retire here in the next 5 years, and helping them out with an income distribution strategy. And the accumulation phase for most people is pretty easy, right? You put money away, you watch the stock market grow, and over time, you're going to be just fine, right? But the distribution phase in retirement's a lot different for people, right? And they're essentially relying on their pensions maybe, or their retirement accounts to live off, right? So we just want to be a little bit more strategic on how we take money out of those accounts. And so that's where we probably do our best work, is working with those pre-retirees and then helping them figure out an income plan for retirement.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, honestly, in any industry, if you're getting ahead of it and having the conversations, educating your clients and making sure that there's transparency from the very beginning,
right?
I think things go a lot smoother, and
absolutely,
there's less of a emotions when things are already expected. So
100%.
And, you know, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, having a good financial plan is extremely important, no matter what, you know.
It always starts with the plan. I mean, you talked about the people that are jumping out of the market, right? I think unless you have a plan, it's like, you know, what are you investing in for at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, even for my younger folks, I always start out with a financial plan. And hey, you know, you're working for X company, you're making X amount of income. When do you want to retire? Do you maybe want to start your own business one day? Okay. You know, if you want to retire by 40, how much money do we need to put away on a monthly basis for you to get to that goal? Right. So,
and everybody is completely different, right? There's
100%. Yep.
An actual strategy to every single one of those goals.
Right.
Yeah. And what is the biggest difference? Is there a little bit more of an increase in aggressiveness or something with a younger person versus somebody that's getting closer to retirement? Or is it just the amounts that are putting in, or
it really depends on who we're working with, right? Like you said, everybody's different. And so I'd say, generally speaking, most people that are younger, right? So let's just say between the ages of 25 and 45, right? They might be in a more aggressive portfolio because they have time to weather these swings in the market, right?
Yeah.
Whereas somebody that's maybe between the ages of 55 and 65, right? They're getting ready to retire most likely, and these large swings, you know, they're going to start sweating a little bit more when they see the market drop 11% in 2 days.
Yeah.
Right. So it just really depends on the person and their goals, how much assets they're working with. And you know, some people, when they retire, they're just leaving corporate America. Some people aspire to start their own business, right?
Yeah.
Or some people might have their business on the side that they've been growing as they've been working in corporate America. So everybody's different. And that's what makes my job exciting, is like I'm working with you know, different people from different backgrounds and different experiences, and it mixes things up for me, right? It makes things exciting. It makes it easier for me to get out of bed in the morning because I'm not doing the same thing over and over again.
Now, there's one thing about being an entrepreneur and being a business owner and being good at what you do.
Right.
You know, understanding your job and how to do it great, doing a good job at it. But I think there's another level that you can reach and increase your business when you actually know how to network.
Right.
And you're that kind of person that is out there seeking to educate people and let people know who you are, what you're about, and what you bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit that a lot of business owners are missing.
Yeah.
You know, that I think we can all be better at.
Yep.
But the people that are implementing that, to a certain extent at least, are just becoming so much more successful, and not only better at their craft because they get a lot more practice, they have a lot more repetitions, but they also, I feel like, they connect with more people that are also doing things in a good way, or in, you know, sometimes in a very high manner.
Yeah.
And we can learn from each other.
Right.
And that's one thing that I know about you. You're a people person.
Yeah.
You're very outgoing and very personable. that helps a ton, man. And and one thing that I can say is, in business, if you have those attributes, you can just rip and tape and start over. You could be in any industry and you could be successful, you know. But it's all about being that good person, trying to do a good job in, with every single person that you meet. Mm-hmm. And I do think that you have that little something, you know, that fire that gets you out there, and the way you connect with people is very personable. And I think that has taken you a long way.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So when it comes to financial planning, there's different functions that come with that, right? I mean, you know, I'm more versed in the retirement plan side, yeah, and the investment side, right? You obviously help people out with insurance, yep, for home and auto. And, you know, I've got CPAs that take care of the accounting and all of that. So for me, it's just seeking out the right people that are going to take care of my clients, yeah, right? I've known you for 5 years. Yeah. I can trust you to take care of my people, right? And I think it goes vice versa.
100%.
Right? So, you know, when I'm out there meeting other business owners, I want to make sure that I am able to send my clients over to the people that are going to take the best care of them.
Right? 100%, yeah. 100%. What's next for Doug?
Growth. You know, we're building our team, and for us, we're just really focused on growth, right? I think we've really perfected our business model,
yeah,
and the people that we're trying to help. And I think for us, kind of like you, right, we're just looking to scale and help as many people as we possibly can.
I love that. In a market that's very competitive right now.
Oh yeah.
What do you think that sets you apart from the rest of the industry?
Yeah. I think our unique tailored approach, right? We don't offer cookie cutter solutions, and I'm not trying to, you know, bash the bigger firms, yeah, right? But I think working with those larger companies, you kind of lose a lot of that personal touch.
Sure.
Right. And I think the bigger the company gets, the more streamlined their solutions are.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of flexibility. Right. And with Lifetime Retirement Partners, our firm, we kind of operate like a law firm. And, you know, my specialty is retirement income planning and corporate retirement plans. Right. And if, you know, I'm not as well versed with employee stock option plans, and I'll bring in, you know, Tony for an example, and he'll help, you know, help me figure out a plan for that particular person, right? So I think what's unique about us is we have our own unique specialties.
Yeah.
And if I need to bring somebody in on a certain case, then I'm able to do that where I'm currently at. Whereas, you know, if I'm at a company that's a little bit more captive and a little bit more strict on, you know, how you can help a client, it kind of limits me on how I can help people.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that in, mm-hmm, in the financial advising world. It does seem like a big difference. And,
oh, yeah,
and being specific to the individual, I mean, that can mean so much.
For sure.
You actually are working to get them to their goals.
Right.
And, I mean, I can't think of a more, you know, bigger thing to bet on than our retirement. At the end of the day, we're all somehow thinking about it, you know,
yeah,
no matter if it's 20 years away or if it's, you know, right around the corner. But I think it's something that's in all of our minds.
And most people, I mean, when most people say retirement, I try to rephrase that in trying to get them to envision financial freedom, mm-hmm, right? So I think most people, retirement is programmed in their mind to where, you know, they think of 65, right? You know,
yeah,
I,
yeah,
put away money for 40 years and then I get to 65, I can finally retire. Well, I think nowadays an early retirement, or, you know, finding financial freedom at an earlier age is a lot more attainable than it used to be, right? But,
yeah,
but it always starts with the plan, right? And that's, I think that's one thing that a lot of younger people have a hard time you know, looking at is like, hey, you know, I could retire in 15, 20 years if I really want to, but I need a plan and I need to be disciplined on how I, you know, focus on that plan on a daily basis.
Yeah. And that's where you can help.
For sure.
Step in and,
yeah,
and be that guidance. Doug, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time.
For sure.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
And looking forward to having the next round to go.
For sure.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yep.
Appreciate it.